The VGRT Gaming Podcast, episode 610, recorded on May 11th, 2021.
Welcome to the 610th edition of the TD Gaming Podcast and 443rd episode of the TD Gaming Roundtable. I am TJ Denzu.
I am Scott Derrick.
And I am Jonah Falcon.
The VGRT Gaming Podcast focuses on gaming news from around the industry.
You know, I just am double-taking sometimes when I hear those ridiculous numbers. Because...
That's so high.
When you really think about it, those are ridiculous numbers for a podcast.
Well, this podcast has gone through a lot of changes.
Yeah, but a lot of time. 2007, which is 14 years ago.
Wow.
Not that you've been... Actually, now that I think about it, you both have been here for like 8 years now. Maybe 10.
Really?
Yeah.
Time just flew by.
Yeah. How many console generations? Let's see. 2007 was when the Xbox 360 was around. And then we went to the Xbox One, and then we went to the Xbox Series X, so... Yeah, that's three generations right there. Wait, PlayStation 2, 3, 4, and 5, but that isn't as fun to say. Of course, we could always say the Wii, the Wii U, and the Switch.
Yeah.
And during all that time, the 3DS. Just the 3DS. Oh, wait, maybe the DS was in 2007. I don't know. Anyways, what have you been playing, Scott?
I've been playing Valheim and more of the Trials game, the Zero, waiting for the Azure cancellation to come out, so hopefully that comes out soon.
Nothing new.
Yeah, nothing new, sorry.
That's okay. How about you, TJ?
I reinstalled Apex Legends because they put out a new mode for the game with this recent season.
Okay.
It's called Arenas, and it's not Battle Royale. Instead of doing Battle Royale like it usually does, it instead puts you in a 3-on-3 match to a first of three round win type scenario. And in between rounds, you earn money to buy weapons and loadouts. So, like, it flips the whole Apex Legends style on its head and adds some Counter-Strike elements to it. And I've really been enjoying it. Because I think one of the things that really kind of grated on me about games like Battle Royales in general, Warzone, Apex Legends, Fortnite... is that the games take so long if you're doing good. And it can all just fall down to pure chance of you coming up on the right team at the right time and taking advantage of a situation. Or the bad luck of coming up on a team and then another team comes up on you when you're trying to fight that one team. Like, and it's just like the random chance of any of that occurring is just like deflating when you lose after like a 30 to 40 minute game. I love how fast Arenas moves. I love the fact that you're fighting against one team. You know that it's just one team and it's just you heads up against them doing like playing with Apex Legends combat, which is basically Titanfall combat. And I think it's exactly what that game needed. It's made me actually enjoy playing it again.
Okay. As for me, I've been playing Dragon Quest Builders 2. Haven't gotten that far.
Awesome.
I've gotten to the second island and started doing the farming thing. I've been trying to squeeze in time for it. So. And, I just want to get some of those achievements, and, you know, I think I see where this game is going. It borrows a lot from Minecraft, yes, but, it's providing, of course, more of a story for it and giving you you have to do this, but do it the way you want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of, because you also have blueprints, and you have to do what the blueprints say.
Then you can always change it up after you've done the blueprint.
Yeah, but you still have the blueprint.
Yeah, right. I guess you could say it's a very long tutorial, building the various things, and you learn all the room recipes, but you do get flexibility, and you can build wherever else you want to.
Yeah.
So there still is flexibility.
Well, I got the impression you can build where you want to, because one of the things it tells you is to go to the thing and look at all this other stuff that people have built.
Yeah.
The social networking aspect. And that's where I said, aha, so yeah, this is where they're emulating Minecraft in, because most of Minecraft is a lot of social networking and talking and showing off what people have done, and that's what this is doing. Just doing it with a JRPG veneer, and yeah, this is one of the most JRPG-ish games I've played in a while, but then again, it is Enix. I'm not going to say Square Enix, this is clearly Enix. Because I played the Dragon Quest, the Dragon Monster Quest, you know, the Pokemon version of that game, you know, with the slimes and all that stuff. And yeah, it's, this is pure Enix. And for those who don't know, a long time ago, it was just Square, and it was just Enix, and they had a merger to make Square Enix. Enix made all of these games that were the Dragon Quest stuff that was just so cutesy, you know. And their mascot seems to be those slimes.
Yeah, and it's the Dragon Ball Z artist, I can't remember his name at the moment, who's the artist for Dragon's Quest, so I think that's how things look so cutesy, is that's kind of his art style.
Yeah, but even the slimes are beyond cutesy.
Yeah.
little teardrops with eyes and a smile.
Yeah, it's just goo, but it looks cute or whatever, and I think they had a controller. I forgot if it was a GameCube controller or something that was in the shape of a slime. So that was pretty cool.
I wouldn't be surprised.
But yeah, the Dragon's Quest Builders 2, I think, had a better story and then more integrated world, because you can go back to these islands whenever you want to. Whereas in the first game, it was divided up by chapters, so you could only be in one place at one time. Here, you have a world and different islands, and you're going to the different islands to do the quest, and as you unlock each island, you get more stuff that you can build on your main island, and also you can still build on each of these islands that you've discovered.
Yeah.
And you can revisit the NPCs, and it just makes a nice living world, I guess you could say.
Yeah, I mean, at least it doesn't handhold you, but it does let you know what you have to do.
Definitely.
But I am grateful for the game to allow me to beat those slimes into submission and turn them into oil.
Oh, yeah. You can beat up whatever you want. Smash up whatever you like and rebuild, you know, whatever you want. I think some people have gotten pretty creative with this game. I know they've been building some crazy stuff in Valheim, too. There's Wally and Millennium Falcon, and someone made a graphics card, you know, just a wooden graphics card. So with G4, I think people have done equally creative stuff with Dragon's Quest Builders too.
Yep. So before we move on, also I've been having a better time with MLB The Show 21. There's another patch, so we'll see what's going on with it. All I know is that somehow I have now 38,000 stubs. So the one thing I don't like is if I go to Twitter, it's always this and that with Diamond Dynasty, and it's like, does anybody ever play any other mode on that game? Am I the only person who only is playing Road to the Show? Just for Road to the Show and not because it's a way to level up your character? And oh, by the way, Road to the Show is a bad way to level up your character for Diamond Dynasty anyway. They do have a mode which is a conquest mode, which is basically territory control, tactical strategy. And when you face off another team, you can either have the computer sim it, or you can just play a game against that team for 3 innings, at least so far. And I'm not going to leave things to chance. I just play the game. So it's an interesting mode. It's one of those goofy using baseball as combat mode. Just fine. I enjoy it. So, we're going to go away from the news items for a moment. Resident Evil Village is huge. For one, it broke the record by Resident Evil 2 Remake for the most concurrent Steam players at launch. For a Resident Evil game, that is. And it also peaked at 103,000 concurrent viewers on Twitch. So, yeah, it's a big game.
Very big. I've started my second playthrough. Now that I'm not playing it for review anymore, I've started my second playthrough with Sam to just, like, enjoy it.
Exploring and, every nook and cranny?
Yeah. God, it's so...
I'm gonna say this. I've seen some screenshots. It looks gorgeous.
It is. There are some incredibly cinematic moments where, like, you can move, you can sort of play the game, and it's actually a little bit hard to do. It would be a little bit hard for people watching to tell if you're watching a cutscene or actually playing the game.
Yeah.
Here's
the thing, though. I mean, just the opening shot when you're at the edge of the forest that they showed, when you see the castle far off in the trees, looks gorgeous.
Yes. That one is great. There's one when you come out of a cave and there's like a mountainside home and there's a waterfall nearby, and the particle effects on the waterfall are just freaking amazing. Just like there are tons of visual of like environmental amazing environmental design throughout that game. I think it's maybe the best looking game of that they've put out that has
ninth
been
generation
so far.
Yeah.
And then it's just the fact that it's incredibly fun to play. Like they really did push for the action element this time. A lot of people are seeing it. Like I wasn't the only one that saw the comparison. This game is a lot like Resident Evil 4, which a lot of people are digging. It's got some jank to it. Like, it's got some parts that people, like...
As if Resident Evil 4 wasn't janky. Come on.
Well, like, it's got some parts, like, near the end where, like, people are like, really? Why did they do that? And I get it, but I also think that they take a turn and stick the landing with the story in a way that just, like, ties everything up super nicely.
Yeah. A lot of people are disappointed that Lady D isn't the focus of the story. And I think that sort of tells me if there's a Resident Evil 9, she'll be the villain front and center.
She's not the main villain. Wow, because the trailer made it seem like she was.
There are four villains. Each of them has their domain, and Lady D has one of them. And they all act like Mr. X. They all stalk you. In different ways, that is.
Yeah, It is kind of. They all have a different. They all have a different sort of methodology to your encounters to them with them, and I don't want to spoil it because like it actually plays into like the narratives about them. But I will say that the marketing on this game, like once they realized that everybody was head over heels, like holy shit, what's with that 9'6" woman?
9'6" woman vampire.
They just, like, leaned into that so hard. They made cardboard cutouts of her to put in promotions for this, like, in stores where the game was being sold. And it's like, yeah, they knew what they were doing every step of the way, but...
I'm going to say right now, though, the next game will be her as the main villain because people are going to want to know more about her.
Yeah, well...
Oh, trust me, even if she dies, there's a way to bring her back. Come on.
Yeah,
this is a video game.
Maybe DLC. I can see DLC, but I don't know if they would spend a whole game on her. Although they did spend like 3 or 4 games on Albert Wesker, so who am I to know? But yeah, they saw what people were posting on the internet, and they were like, "Let us fucking just go along with this and give these people what they want." Who cares if they're mad later? We're just going to go ahead and give them what they want, because they want this lady.
And DeviantArt will take care of the rest.
Yeah, I saw one particular one that had, I think, Grant from Jurassic Park. You know how when he saw the dinosaurs, he goes up against them to feel the breathing?
Yeah.
They show him up against her butt, He's like, this giant woman, and she's right there. It's just funny.
Yeah, so this is a that marketing was a product of people's, just like, the massive outpouring of interest in that character. But, like, I still think that her character arc in Resident Evil Village is she plays her part well, and I'm not sorry for, and I'm like, I'm satisfied with where it begins, where it goes, and where it ends. I think that the entire game works on that level, where, like, a lot of these characters are strong, and like, there are other characters that I don't want to give away that play as big of a role as Lady D, and I think they do it well.
Yeah. I mean, the other thing is the story revolves around your wife and your baby daughter, and it's not a spoiler to say you have to rescue the baby daughter, and that's basically what the game revolves around.
Yeah. And the wife is apparently from a previous game?
Yes. She was... Yeah.
It's actually the same protagonist and the same woman from Resident Evil 7.
So here's the question for you. Does it acknowledge the DLC or just ignore the DLC from Resident Evil 7? Does it ignore the DLC from Resident Evil 7? Because no one liked the story, the content from that DLC. Or does it just not deal with it?
The Resident Evil 7, it does basically make the Chris Redfield DLC canonical.
Okay.
But it doesn't address the other one with Zoe.
Yeah. Well, there's DLC coming for Resident Evil 8, so we'll see what happens with that. The other thing is, speaking of Resident Evil 4, one of the games I downloaded that's on Game Pass is The Evil Within, which is also Resident Evil 4 in disguise. So I'll be trying that out soon.
Nice. Yeah. So, I have my issues with Resident Evil 7, but I don't mind them keeping story and like the story as it was, even with the DLC intact in Resident Evil 8. And in fact, I think they do a good job of incorporating it and extending it through Resident Evil Village in a really good and meaningful way.
Yeah. By the way, the modders are still hard at work. One popular mod replaces Baby Rose with a teeny tiny Chris Redfield.
They went the opposite direction too and replaced Chris Redfield's head with the baby's head. It's really weird and bizarre the way people are going with some of these.
They also made a mashup of Lady D and Mr. X. They combined her with Mr. X. So now she has a wrinkly old face. I'm just kidding. there's something else about Resident Evil Village I'm trying to remember now. One of the things that people have noted, it's not a complaint, it's just, we see the change, is that Resident Evil 7 went for scares. Resident Evil 8 does not. It goes for the action horror sort of thing. Because one thing about Resident Evil 7 was that it was really creepy and scary and moody and atmospheric. Resident Evil 8 is atmospheric, but not that scary. I mean, there's jump scares, but it's more camp scares.
There is one section in Resident Evil Village that is outright nightmare fuel hell.
Oh, it's what's-his-face, the guy with the one of the bosses. Oh, jeez, I forgot which. You know, the one sort of like a hunchback?
No, it's not him.
Oh.
It's actually a character that you really don't get to see too much in the trailers. But their section is quite intense.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. I saw all four bosses, but I know what you're talking about now.
Yeah. So. I think it's good to have that section in the game, because like where most of the game is action, that particular section yanks you out of a place of power and actually makes it fucking terrifying for a while.
By the way, there's also one other thing about Lady D, and that is they directly connect her with Dracula. Because the three daughters that she has, those are Dracula's brides. Did you not know this?
There was a story at the beginning of this game where it talks about a little girl getting lost in the forest and then getting all these powers or presents from dark beings. Does that have anything to do with the bosses that you were talking about before?
EJ, that was addressed at you. He wants to know if a little girl lost in the woods has anything to do with one of the four bosses.
I'm trying to
powers.
From where?
At the beginning of the game, very beginning, like the first thing that happens is a story about a little girl getting lost in the woods, and like a strange lady shows up.
That's a story that the wife is telling.
Yeah.
I don't want to give anything away.
Then don't.
Okay.
Because, like, yes, it matters. That's all I'll say.
Yeah, but I'm just saying the women that help Lady D, those are Dracula's brides.
Mm.
Which is a little bit of a, and it makes me, you know, if they're gonna do that, they might as well just have a Resident Evil Castlevania crossover right there and then.
I mean, dang, they came pretty darn close with this.
Yeah, I mean, Castle Dimitrescu, you know, that could easily be explored by Alucard.
That castle is also one of the best set pieces of that whole game.
Yeah.
But, like I said, the whole game is, I think, a top-to-bottom masterpiece with, like, one exception. But generally speaking, the whole thing is amazing.
Yeah. You know, I think... Here's the thing. I think Resident Evil 2 Remastered is now the basis for where all of this is coming from. You know, it seems like Resident Evil 2 Remastered basically opened up the eyes of the developer, and they said, wait a minute, you know, we should be using this style. It just seems like that it just launched a lot of games. Even Resident Evil 7 didn't have that kind of effect that Resident Evil 2 did.
I don't know, because, like, this game, the amount of Resident Evil 4 systems that are just overlaid with Resident Evil
6. I get that. I'm talking about the interface, the look, you know. I mean, I don't mean the technical systems like the inventory and stuff like that, or the story. I'm talking about the technology behind the game.
Hmm. Yeah, I do sort of see what you're talking about, because, like, when you try to line up enemies and take shots at them, depending on where you hit them, they, like, jank around real hard and will swerve your shot pretty hard if you're not careful.
Yep.
Like, you shoot an enemy in the shoulder, and their shoulder will spin back, and they'll, like... they'll still keep coming at you, but they'll, like, stumble around the momentum of your shot. And that's just, like, kind of just smart physics around that, around your aggression.
Yeah.
And
here's the other thing, too. People are glad that they didn't screw up 8, because what happened, you know, what happened with 4, they followed up with 5 and 6. Well, they followed up 7 with 8, so it doesn't look like they're screwing it up again.
That's good. Actually, I've heard nothing but good things about this game's release, you know, compared to some other games that got released, and I guess with Rush Jaja or something, but this has good quality gameplay, and the videos that I've seen of it really looks like fun. You know, they have a lot of detail and a lot of horror aspects.
Well, here's the thing. TJ, you're really hot for Resident Evil 2 Remastered, right? How does this compare to Resident Evil 2?
I think it's kind of a hard comparison to make, just because, like, Resident Evil 2 is a very enclosed space, I think Resident Evil 7, I think Resident Evil Village does a good job of, like, giving you some enclosed spaces, but generally also opening you up to these grand environments, like the castle or the village itself, or,
Well, I'm not looking for that kind of comparison. Okay, here it is. You're on a desert island, you have a choice. You can either have Resident Evil 2 Remastered or Resident Evil 8. Which one would you pick?
I would rather play Resident Evil Village, I think, because
there
are so many different ways to play Resident Evil Village. You can only really play Resident Evil 2 to the point where, like, you... Resident Evil 2 has, like, more game to it, technically. It has, like, the four scenarios. But once you're done with them, you're kind of, like, you've seen it. There's not a lot of reason to go back besides the Gatling gun. And
I guess it's inevitable being a PS1 game.
I also think that Resident Evil a Village takes some of the best parts of the series and combines it into, like, one great example of all of it in one place.
When you say play it in different ways, what do you mean? Like,
well, one of the things is the upgrade system. You get different weapons throughout you get different versions of the same type of weapon throughout Resident Evil Village, which is to say, like, you get a pistol at the start, but you'll get a different type of pistol later. And then you can get a further different type of pistol near the end of the game. Which one you decide to focus on, what I mean by that is, which one you decide to take to the Duke and upgrade and load up with customized parts, is kind of a different way of playing. Like, you can take
Resident Evil 4 kind of way of playing.
Yeah, you can take the first pistol and just
kit it out.
You can kit it out and you can take it all the way to the end of the game. You can also take the second pistol and do different things with it and make that your main one. And that's just the pistols. There's also three different types of shotguns. There's a grenade launcher. There's a magnum. There's all sorts of different weapons in Resident Evil Village that you can upgrade and specialize in different ways to make a different type of offense.
Yeah.
And I think that, in of itself, allows you to vary up your playstyle in that game and try different things.
Yeah. So, getting away from Resident Evil now, because this is taking up a lot, and it's fascinating to talk about, but we really should move on. I will note that EA released their annual income report. And some things opened my eyes. Not exactly surprising. But it'll explain a lot of things to people because they note some stuff that, in pure numbers, that live service has taken over. In revenue, in the past quarter, full game... The money that they made from selling full games is $250 million. Live services, they made $1 billion.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
And year to date, full games, $1.6 billion, and live services, $4.0 billion. And, you know, here's the other thing. People like to talk about how PC gaming is making a comeback. People are making money with the comeback. Yeah, that's nice. But console sales still far outstrip it. In the past quarter, console sales made $900 million, while PC and other made $274 million. Mobile made $185 million. And the reason why there's a lot more development for PC isn't because people are making more money with PC. It's because it's more money and it's easier to make. That's it. It's just adding on. They realize, you know, we can make a lot more money, and porting to PC isn't that difficult because we develop on PC anyway. So, But yeah, it's depressing to read that, you know, a lot of the money that EA is making is through live game services, which means there's going to be more of it. And I'm pretty sure it's similar for 2K as well. It's sad.
Yeah. And, like, it's sad that, like, you know, EA acquired Codemasters, which are, like, one of the best...
Racing companies. Yeah.
And from what I understand, what they revealed in these recent earnings reports and call were that they were going to hold off on a new Codemasters game until they could properly figure out how to implement EA monetization systems into it, which sucks. That sucks to hear that because Codemasters make really good racing games.
Yeah.
And to hear that that's going to be settled down and delayed so EA can figure out how to loot box it is just sad.
For those who don't know, they're mostly responsible for the Dirt games. And Colin McRae.
Mm-hmm. They've also done the F1 games.
Yeah, the F1 games as well. Yeah.
Which, those games are impeccable.
They also did On Rush. And, yeah. Oh, by the way, they also did the Overlord games. I'll tell you something, if there's an Overlord 3, I would not mind at all.
Yeah, I would play Overlord 3.
They also did Operation Flashpoint, which was GamePen's game of the year way back when, back in 2001.
Just kind of a bummer that, like, a group as good as Codemasters has been working so well in, like, making their name in racing, in the racing genre, is kind of going to be burdened with having to figure out how to make EA monetization fit into whatever project they're working on.
Now, here's the other thing, is that Europe is getting really tough on microtransactions. So EA and 2K and everybody else are scrambling to figure out a way to, and Fortnite already did this, find a way to monetize without breaking laws. It'll be interesting to see what EA and other people do. Because once Europe falls, then once Europe passes that law, it's very easy for it to pass in the United States. Because usually these things spread around really quickly. I'm just worried it'll be worse than better. So. The thing is that the problem is that, live game services are not just about the money, they're also about the engagement, and there are some of us who just don't want to engage. You know, I don't want to be forced to engage if I don't want to.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, even IUDM Chronicles is going to have, like, asynchronous mode and leaderboards. I don't know why it needs leaderboards. That seems like an odd thing to do, but I guess you might have, like, fastest completion.
I would ignore it because you'll always have people who hack the game and cheat.
Oh, yeah.
0.001 seconds.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Yeah, that sucks.
On the very last note, before we go into game news, I am seriously considering getting an 8K TV.
Oh, yeah.
And the only reason why I'm not getting an 8K TV is because the smallest they have is 55 inches. And it has nothing to do with price. It has everything to do with size and what fits in my room. And I need something that's 43 inches. But, you know, I'm looking at these 8K TVs and I'm saying, I can afford this now.
Hmm, that's pretty cool.
$2,200 is going down into my range. And if you ever go to a Best Buy or a Sears or whatever and watch an 8K TV going, it's like, oh, I want this. it's totally a waste of money, but I want it. I do need to get a new 4K TV because my 4K TV is 10 years old. It does not have HDR. And a lot of games have special things for HDR. And getting a 4K HDR TV that's 43 inches is now under $300. It's astonishing how inexpensive these TVs have gotten. But I can never bring myself to buy a TV when I already have one. That's the problem. I don't like throwing out a TV that still works.
Yeah, agreed.
I can understand that.
Anyways, we're going to move on to the next. We're going to move on to game news. Go ahead, TJ.
All right. Yakuza will remain a turn-based series going forward, from PC Gamer. Yakuza will be sticking to turn-based RPG combat for the foreseeable future. Speaking ahead of the reveal of Lost Judgment, the sequel to 2018's Yakuza spinoff, series creator Toshihiro Nagoshi and producer Kazuki Hosokawa told IGN that the main series would be ditching its brawler roots after the success of Like a Dragon. The Yakuza series has been transformed into a turn-based RPG. On the other hand, over the year, Ryuga Gotoku has accumulated resources and know-how of making flashy and exhilarating action games that are effortless to play. We decided that we should let our signature action gameplay live on through Lost Judgment. So Yakuza's venerable third-person brawling will continue in Judgment. Yakuza, meanwhile, will retain the heightened absurdity of Like a Dragon's JRPG settings.
So I know a lot of there are some people who are really upset about this because they like Yakuza's brawling. Mm-hmm. But it's not like they're losing that kind of gameplay. I mean, the spinoff is going to remain an action brawler. And when you want to think about it, there are 7 Yakuza games that are all action brawlers, you know? I mean, if they want to go with turn-based RPGs, Dragon Quest style, why not? Let it do that for a few games. I'm willing to bet you in like 10 years they'll go back to an Yakuza action brawler game again.
Yeah, it'll be interesting, like, if they continue to see how many games they do this for. Because, like, I think it is strange to me to take the mainline product and take it in a vastly different direction and then let a spinoff sort of carry on the mainline project's original style. But, like, also, yeah, Like a Dragon did awesome for them, and I can see why they would want to continue to see what they can do with that.
And here's the other thing that I'm willing to bet you is going on. Unlike some companies, the developer is willing to say, you know what, we've done Yakuza for a long while as an action brawler, we're bored of it, we're tired of it, let's do something new.
Mm-hmm.
And it's basically, you know, I mean, Bungie got tired of doing Halo games. Of course, the funny thing is that Destiny is a Halo game just without the Halo title in it. They only know how to do one kind of game anyway. Marathon, Halo, Destiny. They're all the same game. But, you know, there's some developers in which they just get tired and it's draining having to make the same game year after year after year, and they just want to do something new. Which I think the Coalition is doing, and we're going to discuss that in a bit.
Mm-hmm. It's, I mean, I always felt like Judgment was kind of their spinoff before Like a Dragon happened, because Judgment, it does have brawling in it, but it also has a ton of, like, investigative elements in it.
Yeah.
You spend more time investigating crime scenes in that game than you do. You spend probably as much time investigating crime scenes and solving, like, logic and courtroom case puzzles as you do actually fighting in that game.
There was a trailer for a game, and I'm trying to remember the name for it, which was all cutscene. There was no gameplay in it, but it was a, like, Japanese drama. You know, it sort of reminded me of a Yakuza game, and I'm trying to remember what the heck the name of it was. You remember? Did you see it? I have to look this up.
What was it?
There's a game, I forgot the name of it, but it's a Japanese game. The trailer dropped, and it was like 3 minutes of cutscenes, or maybe 4 minutes, just a lot of cutscenes. No gameplay in it. But the main character sort of looked like Ichiban, even though it wasn't a Yakuza game.
Hmm.
And I'm trying to remember the heck the name of it. It was a trailer that released in the past week. And it was just so... It was like a drama, one of those 90s crime dramas, you know, with mysterious killings and, you know, gangsters and public corruption, and it seemed more like an episode of Law and Order than it did a video game. And the reason for that is that they didn't show a bit of game. All they did showed was a bunch of cutscenes. It was all pre-rendered, and I'm trying to remember what the name of it was.
I have not seen this, but I'm looking for it. I didn't.
Oh no! You know what? It was the trailer for Lost Judgment. I'm sorry. Yeah, they released that. They released that trailer. I'm sorry. It was Lost Judgment. They released the trailer. They showed no gameplay whatsoever.
Oh yeah.
And they called it a legal thriller.
Yes. Yes. Judgment has always had kind of that. It's basically if Yakuza's Brawling was mixed with a Phoenix Wright game. And I love it from top to bottom. It's yeah. very good, and I'm really happy to see that it's getting a sequel because I like those characters as well. pardon. I think that's what made it easier for me to deal. I'm more of a Judgment fan than I am a mainline Yakuza fan, so I really didn't mind the news, but I can see where people would be very upset about it if they had stayed with it from the beginning and were, like, very used to that style.
Yeah.
But, I mean, Lost Judgment will continue that style, so no, not...
I mean, people are not losing anything, really. I mean, mm-hmm. it's just the name of the game, Yakuza. I mean, you have a Yakuza-like game coming out from the same publisher, which is a spinoff. And like I said, I think they found a new audience with Like a Dragon, because Like a Dragon is out and out a Dragon Quest style RPG, and I think people who don't like action brawlers but prefer turn-based RPGs really got into it. Like me. Anyways, we're going to move on to the next item. Gear 6 won't be announced, quote-unquote, for some time, and this comes for us from PC Games N. The good news is that Gears of War development, the Coalition, is switching over the Unreal Engine 5, meaning the next Gears game is going to look even prettier than Gears 5 does. The bad news is also that the Gears of War developer is switching over to is not going to be doing any Gears 6 anytime soon. Following the release of the strategy game Gears Tactics and the Xbox Series XS launch of Gears 5, the Coalition says it's looking to capitalize on the advanced hardware now available. The developer adds Gear 5's fans need not worry, additional content is on the way, and that includes Operations 7 and 8, both of which will contain two drops of new characters, maps, and special events. Why does that sound a lot like Rainbow Six Siege to me, for some reason? Sounds like they're announcing a new module for Rainbow Six Siege. Yes, we're dropping some operators. However, the shift does mean there's going to be a bit of a lull in terms of new game announcements as the studio retools for Unreal Engine 5. Shifting to a new engine is a big undertaking, so we want to be clear that we will not be announcing any new projects or titles for some time. On that note, the studio points to its Microsoft Careers page, where it's advertising for several open full-time and contract positions, and they range from community management to engineering and production and beyond. And, on a side note, they also said we're not making a new Star Wars game, which had been the rumor for the past few weeks.
Yeah, I, with them moving over to UE5, I kind of expected that the Coalition would be among the group, one of the first groups to do this.
Well, yeah, here's the thing. They're the Coalition. There are a lot of ex-Epic employees. They've worked on Gears, which is the Unreal Engine game. So they're pretty much familiar with Unreal Engine, period.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's also the Gears series, right? Like, the Gears series is...
Yeah, I just said, yeah. The Gears series has always been Unreal Engine.
That's what I was getting at. The Gears series is, like, the flagship... It was the flagship franchise for the Unreal Engine for a very, very, very long time.
And then Fortnite became the flagship for Unreal Engine 4.
Well, yeah, to a degree. But I still think that you have that history between Gears and the Unreal Engine as a whole that sort of makes it, like, not only inevitable that Gears was going to be, like, moving over to UE5, but also, like, I'm surprised that this announcement didn't come sooner.
Here's the thing. The Gears games always took full advantage of the Unreal Engine. Anything the Unreal Engine could do, they maxed out its capabilities. They always made their games look really good in the Unreal Engine. So, it's a little surprising they're not, you know, I could picture them having a small group remastering Gears 5 to the Unreal Engine 5, by the way. And having a small group just doing a remaster so they can make money on it again. Like we did before with, you know, Lost Judgment, it sounds like the Coalition just wants to make a different kind of game. Something else. Which is fine. I mean, there's going to be a Gear 6 at some point, you know, in 10 years, perhaps. Because they one thing about these people is they take a long time in their games, too.
Yeah. I mean, they're still wrapping up content on Gears 5, which I didn't know that they were even still working on content for Gears 5.
Multiplayer, like, baby. Multiplayer.
It's been a while since that game has been out, but I guess they're still doing content packs for it. And they mentioned that they're just beginning the transition, like the complete transition over to UE5. So they've still got presumably they still got a lot of work to do to fit all of their systems and everything over into UE5 before they can start making a game. But that's just my guess.
For some reason, I pictured them doing a space game. And by space, I mean outer space game. For some reason, I get that feel. Speaking of which, you know, it comes out on the 14th, right? That's which right. I just pre-ordered. Mass Effect Legendary.
Oh yeah.
So I have it pre-ordered, and I'm pre-ordering it on Xbox. I decided to get the Xbox version, not the PC version.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that game as well. They had a little content drop earlier this week that had a lot of cool stuff in it. You could make your own cover art for the game, which was really fun. I like what they put together for that. They also just straight up released the entire soundtrack for the first game.
Yeah, yeah. The other thing that's coming out in the next week is the new Elite Dangerous Odyssey. Which I'm looking forward to as well. Even if the they said everybody who's played the alpha has said that the first person shooting thing is kind of, you know, 2005-ish. But that's okay. I don't care. I really don't care. I'm more interested in walking around planets.
Yeah, Mass Effect 1, like they recently mentioned that they were gonna provide options to turn off improvements to the game, which I think is an interesting decision. But one thing I've learned about when writing
the
coverage of Mass Effect 1 is that there are a lot of people that strangely just fucking love the original controls of the Mako, and I can't tell if they're trying to gaslight me or if it's rose-colored glasses.
Look, Mass Effect came out in 2007 as well. That was 14 years ago, and they're used to it. I, on the other hand, think it sucks, the Mako controls and the Overland stuff.
But, it absolutely sucks.
But, you know, I've come to view it as sort of like a necessary evil that I just skip through, you know. I've learned the shortcuts, like, I land on every planet in a system just to get them out of the way, and there will be, if you come upon a mission, you can start missions without having gone to the mission giver. And then it'll tell you, you know, someone might want this. And you say, okay. And you go back to them, and they say, oh, I was going to ask you to do it, but you did it for me. Thank you. So. Anyways. But, Looking forward to playing Mass Effect all over again. And I have the original games, so I still have Farpoint Station. Not Farpoint Station. Whatever, the deleted station. That's not available in the remaster. Anyways, we're going to move ahead. Scott, you can take the next item.
Okay. Baldur's Gate Dark Alliance 2 re-release on the table. This is from Eurogamer. A PC port of Baldur's Gate Dark Alliance is coming later this year, Black Isle Studio has confirmed. I thought Black Isle Studio closed.
No. It may not be the same Black Isle Studios. It's still Black Isle Studios.
Okay. I thought they had disbanded a long time ago.
No, you're thinking of the other one that they're associated with. There's Black Isle and there's... I forgot the name of it. Anyways, moving forward.
Black Isle. The cult classic console RPG released last week on PlayStation, Xbox consoles. Nintendo Switch version is still MIA. A PC port of Baldur's Gate Dark Alliance is in the works and coming later this year. Black Isle tweeted, "We're also hoping to ensure it is online co-op using Steam's Remote Play." And another tweet, Black Isle said a re-release of Baldur's Gate Dark Alliance 2 is on the table. Well, Baldur's Gate Dark Alliance 2 came out in 2004 for PlayStation 2 and Xbox 3 years after the first game launched in 2001.
I thought my Baldur's Gate Dark Alliance 2 disc for the Xbox, and it's backwards compatible.
Yeah, it's very different from the isometric.
It's Diablo. It's not even.
Yeah.
It's basically Diablo with a D&D thing, which is why I got it, by the way. I've been playing Diablo 2. I was hungering for more Diablo, and I said, oh, look, you know, Dark Alliance 2 is a D&D Diablo, and I enjoyed it. TJ, do you ever play Dark Alliance?
No, but I played a game that was based on the Dark Alliance engine, which was Champions of Norrath, and I really loved that game.
Oh, okay.
I never had a chance to play Dark Alliance, and I only recently learned that it was like the foundation for Champions of Norrath.
Mm.
I really liked that combat style and system. I've been considering if I have time to pick this up because I really did like the playing through that game back in the day, and I really do want to see what the original is like.
Dark Alliance 2 is better. It's not because it's a sequel. It's just they decided with Dark Alliance 2 to eschew any pretension that they're not just doing another Diablo and said, fuck it, we're doing a Diablo. So Dark Alliance 2 is far more like Diablo than Dark Alliance is.
Yeah. And I mean, having not played Diablo 2, I've played Diablo 3, but I didn't play Diablo 2.
Oh, you will be playing Diablo 2 this year, though.
Yes. I didn't have a frame of reference when I went into a game like Champions of Norrath, but that is going to be kind of my frame of reference if I play this, and I'm interested to see like what is similar, what things I recognize, or what things are extremely different or rudimentary in comparison to like what came after it.
Hmm.
I like that kind of stuff. I like exploring and seeing like the basis of what would become recognizable features of future games. So I am interested to play the first Dark Alliance, and I'll probably be interested to play the second one if I like the first one when it comes out.
Scott?
Yeah, it's a very action-y game. Like you said, Diablo, you go to your quest giver, go out, kill a whole bunch of enemies, get loot. Yeah, it's like you said, it's Diablo clone. I played it. I just didn't. I was expecting Baldur's Gate, and it was not, so I was disappointed. Because I didn't read reviews or look at videos or anything. I just got the game because it's in Baldur's Gate. I was very disappointed because it was not what I was expecting. But you know, if you like Diablo-like games, then yeah, you'll enjoy this.
Right. Anyways, we're going to move on to the next item. Go ahead, TJ.
Yeah. Okay. Castlevania Lords of Shadow Studio is making a new game from GamesRadar. The studio behind Castlevania Lords of Shadow and Metroid Samus Returns is working on a new title with 505 Games. Details are scarce on the new project so far, with the recap describing it as a deal for development and the worldwide publishing of a brand new video game to be released on both console and PC. A brief post on Mercury Steam's official site adds that it will be amazing. Well, that's for other people to decide. Mercury Steam's latest release was Space Lords, a free-to-play online shooter in which initially came out in 2017 under the name Raiders of a Broken Planet. Mercury Steam has kept the game updated since then, but it has been a while since we've seen an all-new project from the Spanish developer. 505 Games has expanded as a publisher in recent years, releasing titles including Control, Bloodstained Ritual of the Night, and Death Stranding's PC version under its banner.
They're also going to be the publisher for Iudian Chronicles, and I'm interested in this game. I like the Castlevania series. And
well, they didn't say it was going to be a Castlevania game. We're just hoping.
Oh.
Well, I mean, I like all the stuff that they've done. I liked Lords of Shadow. I liked Metroid: Samus Returns, and I haven't played the newest one that they talked about.
Yeah.
But yeah, Mercury Steam has done some pretty interesting takes on like franchises that we know, and I'm curious to see if this is another game that's going to be like, does brand new game mean brand new IP, or does it mean? Or does it mean that they're going to be doing a brand new game in an existing series like they've done before?
I think they're going to do an original IP for some reason. If they're doing a new Black Castle, if they're doing a new Castlevania game, I think they would actually say we're doing a new Castlevania game.
True that. That's a good point. So yeah, as far as what they do with action and like cinematics and stuff. I think they've done a good job over the years of like building a personal style and evolving it over time.
Well, then they're probably going to be making a new Metroidvania game in 3D.
I kind of want to see what this Space Lords game was. Just like what genre, what play style it was.
Free to play online shooter. Come on.
Sure, but it doesn't tell me too much.
It's on Steam.
Oh, interesting. It's like it kind of looks like a hero shooter.
Yeah, it sort of reminds me of that Jetpack MMO from back. I forgot the name of it, which is long gone. MMO with a jetpack.
it also looks like it's PvE for the most part.
Right.
So, kind of a Warframe vibe to it.
Yeah. But it's something to keep an eye on, because there's a lot of fans of Castlevania Lords of Shadow. I mean, once they got it fixed.
Mm-hmm. I don't know, I bought that game on day one, and I enjoyed it for the most part. I played it all the way to the end. Patrick Stewart's voice narrating everything was perfect.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. They've done a good job for what they're worth. So I'm willing to see what Mercury's team has for us next.
Anyway, look for our show notes at gamingpodcast.net, along with industry news and our gaming history articles. We enjoy feedback, so leave us comments on our blog at gamingpodcast.net. Also, hit us up at facebook.com/gamingpodcast. Subscribe to us on iTunes, leave some iTunes comments. You can find me at Twitter on Jonah Falcon.
You can find me at Johnny Chugs.
You can find me at Shard of Moore.
And we will see you next week, and I will definitely be singing the praises of Mass Effect Legendary, or I will be cursing the gods because they screwed it up somehow.
Well, I hope it's the former.
Yeah. I think it will be. I mean, it's kind of hard to screw up Mass Effect. Oh, wait a minute.
Yeah, don't say that too fast.
It kind of sort of bums me out that they won't have the Mass Effect 3 multiplayer, because it was one of the few multiplayer modes I could tolerate.
Mm-hmm. It also served such a purpose. Like, I like the way it actually affected the main game.
I mean, I hope they release it as a separate module, you know, so that people can at least play Mass Effect. Because there was actually a... one of the actors died. I forgot his name. He played Zaid. His name is Robin Sachs. And they had a special weekend for him in which if they got this many kills, I forgot what it was, something extravagant, you know, really, really hard to do, they would release his, they would give everybody special guns that were based on the weapon that he wore, wielded in the game. And Electronic Arts thought that it would take all weekend. It took 2 hours.
Dang.
Yep.
It's an awesome story. I really can't wait for this game. I'm interested to, for the most part, I'm just interested to see how Mass Effect 1 plays out. I really want to believe in the changes they've made in that and hope that they're all for the better.
Mm-hmm. So, anyways, we will see you next week.
Happy gaming, everyone.
Have fun. Be cool. Play games, y'all.